by no drift of conference get from him why he puts on this confusion, greeting so harshly all his days of quiet with turbulent and dangerous lunacy?
He does confess he feels himself distracted, but from what cause I will by no means speak, nor do we find him forward to be sounded, but with a crafty madness keeps aloof when we would bring him on to some confession of his true state.
Did he receive you well?
Most like a gentleman,
but with much forcing of his disposition.
Niggard of question, but of our demands, most free in his reply.
Did you assay him to any pastime?
Madam, it so fell out that certain players were wrought on the way. Of these we told him, and it has seemed in him a kind of joy to hear of it. They're here about the court, and as I think, they have already ordered this knight to play before him.
It is both true, and he beseeched me to entreat your majesty to hear and see the matter.
With all my heart. And it doth much content me to hear him so inclined. Good gentlemen, give him a further edge and drive his purpose into these delights.
We shall, my lord.
Sweet Gertrude, leave us too. For we have closely sent for Hamlet hither, that he, as 'twere by accident, may hear affront of Velia. Her father and myself, lawful espials, will so bestow ourselves that, seeing unseen, we may of their encounter frankly judge, and gather by him as he is behaved, if it be the affliction of his love or no, that thus he suffers for.
I shall obey you, and for your part, Ophelia. I do wish that your good beauties be the happy cause of Hamlet's wildness. So shall I hope your virtues will bring him to his wonted way again, to both your honor.
Madam, I wish it may.
Ophelia, walk you here. Gracious, so please you, we will bestow ourselves. Read on this book that show of such an exercise may color your loneliness. We are off to blame in this. 'Tis too much proved that with devotions, visage, and pious action, we do sugar or the devil himself.
Oh, 'tis too true. How smart a lash that speech doth give my conscience. The harlot's cheek, beautied with plastering art, is not more ugly to the thing that helps it than is my deed to my most painted word. Oh, heavy burden.
I hear him coming, but let's withdraw, my lord.
To be or not to be, that is the question. Whether 'tis nobler in the mind to suffer the slings and arrows of outrageous fortune, or to take arms against the sea of troubles and by opposing end them, to die, sleep no more, and by a sleep to say we end the heartache and the thousand natural shocks that flesh is heir to, 'tis a consummation devoutly to be wished. To die, to sleep, to see. A chance to dream. Aye, there's the rub. For in that sleep of death, what dreams may come when we have shuffled off this mortal coil must give us pause. There's the respect that makes calamity of so long life. For who would bear the whips and scorns of time, the oppressor's wrong, the proud man's contumely, the pangs of disprized love, the law's delay, the insolence of office, and the spurns that patient merit of the unworthy takes, when he himself might his quietus make? For the bear, Bodkin, who would fardels bear, to grunt and sweat under a weary life, but the dread of something after death, the undiscovered country from whose bourne no traveller returns, puzzles the will and makes us rather bear those ills we have than fly to others that we know not of. Thus conscience doth make cowards of us all, and thus the native hue of resolution is sicklied o'er with a pale cast of thought, and enterprises of great pitch and moment, with disregard their currents, turn awry and lose the name of action. Soft, you know, fair Ophelia. Nymph, in thy orisons be all my sins remembered.
Good my lord, how does your honor for this many a day?
I humbly thank you. Well, well, well.
My lord, I have remembrances of yours that I have longed long to re-deliver. I pray you now receive them.
No, not I. I never gave you aught.
My honored lord, you know right well you did. And with them words of so sweet breath composed, has made the things more rich, their perfume lost. Take these again, for to the noble mind rich gifts wax poor when givers prove unkind. There, my lord.
Uh-huh. Are you honest?
My lord?
Are you fair?
What means your lordship?
That if you be honest and fair, your honesty should admit no discourse to your beauty.
Could beauty, my lord, have better commerce than with honesty?
Aye, truly. For the power of beauty will sooner transform honesty from what it is to a bawd, than the force of honesty can translate beauty into his likeness. This was sometime a paradox, but now the time gives it proof. I did love you once.
Indeed, my lord, you made me believe so.
You should not have believed me, for virtue cannot so inoculate our old stock, but we shall relish of it. I loved you not.
I was the more deceived.
Get thee to a nunnery. Why wouldst thou be a breeder of sinners? I am myself indifferent, honest, but yet I could accuse me of such things that it were better my mother had not borne me. I am very proud, revengeful, ambitious, with more offences at my beck than I have thoughts to put them in, imagination to give them shape, or time to act them in. What should such fellows as I do, crawling between earth and heaven? We are knaves all, believe none of us. Go thy ways to a nunnery. Where's your father?
At home, my lord.
Let the doors be shut upon him, that he may play the fool nowhere but in his own house. Farewell.
Oh, help him, you sweet heavens.
If thou dost marry, I'll give thee this plague for thy dowry. Be thou as chaste as ice, as pure as snow, thou shalt not escape calumny. Get thee to a nunnery. Go, farewell. Or if thou wilt needs marry, marry a fool, for wise men know well enough what monsters you make of them. To a nunnery, go, and quickly too, farewell.
Oh, heavenly powers, restore him.
I've heard of your paintings too, well enough. God hath given you one face, and you make yourselves another. You jig, you amble, and you lisp. You nickname God's creatures, and make your wantonness your ignorance. Go to, I'll no more, aunt, it hath made me mad. I say we will have no more marriage. Those that are married already, all but one shall live. The rest shall keep as they are. To a nunnery, go!
Oh, what a noble mind is here o'erthrown. The courtiers, soldiers, scholars, eye, tongue, sword. The expectancy and rose of a fair state. The glass of fashion and the mould of form. He observed of all observers quite down. And I of ladies, most deject and wretched, that sucked the honey of his music vows. Now see that noble and most sovereign reason like sweet bells jangled, out of tune and harsh, that unmatched form and feature of blown youth blasted with ecstasy. Oh, woe is me, that have seen what I have seen. See what I see.
Love, his affections do not that way tend. Nor what he spake, though it lacked form a little, was not like madness. There's something in his soul, o'er which his melancholy sits on brood, and I do doubt the hatch and the disclose will be some danger. Which for to prevent, I have in quick determination thus set it down. He shall with speed to England, for the demand of our neglected tribute, after the seas and countries different, with variable objects, shall expel this something settled matter in his heart, whereon his brain still beating puts him thus from fashion of himself. What think you, aunt?
It shall do well, but yet do I believe the origin and commencement of his grief sprung from dejected love. Oh, no, Ophelia, you need not tell us what Lord Hamlet said. We heard it all. My lord, do as you please. But if you hold it fit, after the play, let his queen mother all alone entreat him to show his grief. Let her be round with him, and I'll be placed, so please you, in the ear of all their conference. If she find him not, to England send him, or confine him where your wisdom best shall think.
It shall be so. Madness in great ones must not unwatched go.